Are we ready?
8 o'clock.
Pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Actually, before we sit down, I just want to give a moment of silence for Sherry Ruby. She was a councilwoman here and passed away last week.
May I take a roll call?
Here.
Mr. Redman?
Here.
Mr. O'Neill?
Present.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Ms. Kane?
Here.
Mayor Nolan is absent this evening. First item on the agenda is the Paint to Town Paint presentation.
First of all, thank you very much, Council, for allowing us to come here and be here tonight. I'm Stacey Donovan, and I coordinate Paint the Town Pink on behalf of Meridian Health. Actually, that's my first time saying that in almost 7 years, because originally Paint the Town Pink was started by Riverview Medical Center, one of the hospital systems in Meridian Health. And because of the growth of Paint the Town Pink in the last 6 years and interest from other towns such as the Highlands, we now, it's grown, so we are now Meridian Health Paint the Town Pink. So we're very excited about that. I've given each of you tonight just some visuals for explaining a little bit about how Paint the Town Pink works and also our official requests from the town for certain items. Before I get started, I just wanted to give you a little bit of background about Paint the Town Pink. It started nearly 7 years ago in 2007, and it was started by Riverview Medical Center primarily because they found out that in the state of New Jersey, the statistic for the number of women age 40 and older having annual mammography was shockingly low. It was about 30% of all the women in the state of New Jersey were having mammograms done on an annual basis. And as a healthcare provider, we know that women's outcomes for breast cancer are much higher and better when it's detected early. So we initiated a campaign to go out and educate the community, and particularly Red Bank in our sort of neighborhood where Riverview is located, to educate them about the importance of having annual mammography and how important it is to saving lives. So 6 years ago, we started it with the concept to literally just sort of paint the downtown of Red Bank pink. And we engaged our local businesses in our downtown to help us spread the message. So what we did was each business painted their windows and helped us pass out materials to their clients and people who came to the restaurants to encourage the women and the people who patronize their businesses and restaurants to have their annual mammography done. And we do this as a partnership with the businesses. We don't ask for any money. We don't ask the businesses to specifically fundraise for us. It is basically a very community-based initiative. Long story short, bringing us up to 2012, something we had never anticipated happening was other towns wanted to paint themselves pink. And we started with Monmouth Beach. We, Marine Health, does not go into the community and sort of knock on the doors of towns and ask you to become part of what we call our pink family. It is usually generated by interest by a community member in your town who comes to us and asks if they can participate and paint the town pink. It's an exceptionally sort of volunteer-based program, so I just want to let everyone know that, you know, it really comes from the community. So we now, in 2012, we had 8 towns that painted themselves pink. We had obviously Red Bank, Monmouth Beach, Little Silver, Fairhaven, Rumson, the Atlantic Highlands, and Homedale that all came to us and painted themselves pink. Over the years, we expanded from participation and partnership with our local businesses because our residents wanted to get involved too. So we developed a program called Pink Your House. And you'll see the postcard there that we have a mailer that goes out to all of the residents in the particular pink town, and in your case it would be the Pinklands, encouraging them to participate and paint the town pink. Again, it is entirely voluntary, and we do provide some materials for starter kits. I do have to preface, though, for this year it may be a little smaller in what we give on the starter kits because we will be in 16 towns in Monmouth and Ocean County in 2013. I'm not sure if everyone's aware or not, but Meridian Health in and of itself is a not-for-profit. So we also are similar to other charities in that we do have some budget constraints. But the residents are wonderful. Everyone comes out. They can participate in the contest. If they don't want to, they don't have to, they can show their support by painting their house. Again, it's entirely up to how much your community would like to do, and we're just grateful for any support that you give, from residents to businesses to civic organizations. So over the years, as Paint the Town Pink has grown, we've also had different organizations with the towns participate as well. We have churches, synagogues, the schools, the children are amazing. They get so involved. So it's a wonderful experience for the entire community. In year two, we just started out, as I said, as an awareness-based, mission-based program. In year two, people started donating. So people came into the businesses and they wanted a way to donate to Paint the Town Pink. At the time, we didn't have anything to donate to because we weren't considering fundraising. But because people started donating, we tried to come up with something that we felt gave back to the community in a very meaningful way. And by doing that, our fundraising and 100% of all the proceeds that we do raise goes directly to provide free mammography for uninsured and underserved women in the community. So everything that we do from an operational perspective for Paint the Town Pink, we do not use any of the money that's raised from businesses or schools or residents to offset that cost. 100% of it goes into something called the Pink Fund. So we're very, very proud of that. And it only gets done because of communities like the Atlantic like the Highlands. So thank you. So we have the Pink Fund, we pink houses, we pink your businesses, and each town hosts their own signature event. And it's entirely kind of up to the town as to what they would like to do for the event. We're very open. The only thing we do is we kind of have a little oversight on it just to make sure that it's consistent with our healthcare mission. And we don't do a lot of the sort of vernacular kind of things. It's, you know, we have to sort of modify like some things like booze for boobs and stuff like that we don't do. But we've had very good response from the town. So, but it's been, like I said, it's been very well received. So we actually had someone from your community approach us who's interested in having the Highlands become a Paint the Town Pink town. And the official request is there, so we ask you sort of to accept that Paint the Town Pink can come to your town. Visually, some of the things we do to add to the presence so that people understand what we're doing during the week, aside from the businesses painting their town, there's two things we've done in the past. One is hang, usually depending on the size of the town, 1 to 2 banners, and in Homedale we actually had 3, which on one side usually says welcome to, and in your case it would be welcome to the Pinklands, and on the other side it usually says Paint the Town Pink with our event dates, letting people know, and also our website that they can go to get more information. This year we also do a pink line usually down a main street in your town. Sometimes this pink line can be up to a mile long. In the 6 years that we've been doing Paint the Town Pink, we've had an amazing community member from, he's actually from Tinton Falls. He owns a paving company, a line striping company. He literally walks the pink line for us. So he donates his time. He usually does it in the middle of the night. He works with a local Sherwin-Williams retailer, and all of the paint has been donated over 6 years. Last year he walked over 8 miles painting pink lines, and then he does go back and paint the black over, which again he donates his time, and Sherwin-Williams was donating the paint. It cost several $1,000s in 2012 to do that, so he, as wonderful as he is, he may not be able to do it again this year. We are asking for the request in the event that he can, and we can get support from people to do it, but he may not be able to. Sadly, be able to do it. So those are the two sort of physical requests we have. With the banners, we usually hang them at least 7 to 8 days prior to the event launch. In the past, Paint the Town Pink has been strictly a week-long event, but in the last 2 years, we keep adding days because the number of our towns keep growing, and we have so many events that go on. We try not to double the events or have too many events in one day so that people can attend more than one event. Because many of our events are free, they're educational events, they're community events, they're events focused on families. So this year, in 2013, the event may last the entire month of May. So it would be the beginning of May till the end of May, which is something very new for us. So we would, you know, we would request, obviously, we would love for the banners to hang up for the entire month, But we understand, like, some towns already have pre-commitments from other organizations that hang banners, whether they have a 5K race or you have a festival in your town. So we're very open to working with the towns in terms of how long the banners would be up. We also work directly with JCP&L to make sure that where we hang the banners are safe and appropriate and approved by JCP&L, and we do insure all the banners that are being hung. So we work with our insurance company to make sure. We haven't had any problems yet. So, and in fact, in the Atlantic Highlands this year, our challenge was the wind. So we made different fabric banners last year, so it was conducive to the wind. So you may have a similar problem here. So we would put, it's a mesh as opposed to a vinyl that we typically use, so that it doesn't tear anything up. So we're very sensitive to that. We did sort of make some recommendations on where the banners could be hung, but we are very open to your suggestions. Of course, we'd like them to be somewhere visible and sort of to the entranceways of the towns, but, you know, in some cases, that's not always possible, because where we'd like to hang it, JCP&L says we can't. So we welcome your suggestions on doing that. We work very closely with all the councils on the banners, and again, if we do the pink line. Does anyone have any questions?
How crazy do people get in terms of painting their house pink?
Well, I'll tell you, we had a resident in Fairhaven paint their entire roof. We've had people paint their garage doors, paint their driveways. People get very, very creative.
Do you have to remove the pink?
It's entirely up to the homeowner what they would like to do. Some of them keep it. So, and we actually had one town that didn't want the pink line to leave. They wanted the pink line to stay all year long. So that's up to the town if they wanted to do that. So.
Any control factor there?
So basically would vote to move forward with this. And then I believe there's a committee too, right, Mary Margaret? You're on the committee, and Tara?
We actually, how we did it a little bit different last year, because we had so many towns involved. In the past, when we first started, we had a little tiny committee, and it was kind of just like six of us. But now that it's grown, the towns are so involved, and they're so passionate about it, that we create steering committees in the town. So there's a steering committee chair or a co-chair, because we understand people are busy, and they have families and work and soccer, and then underneath that, there's usually a business committee and a community committee. And the business committee has a chairperson, and the community committee has a chairperson. And then they recruit people, committee members, to go out and do things. So the business committee works strictly with the businesses on painting their windows, coming up with ideas. We have businesses who like to host events, and they like to have, you know, physicians or oncologists come and speak, which we've done before. We provided the physicians. And you know, so that committee does that. And then we also have the community committee, who usually runs their events and then also works on Pink Your House. So, and since the towns are getting so much bigger, I'll be honest with you, we're kind of rethinking a little bit about, so that we can offer more support in the community for Pinking Your House. Because we literally have great volunteers that go door to door and deliver these pink bags filled with Pink Your House kit items.
What's in the Paint Your House kit?
In the past, we have a flag, so we give you a Paint the Town Pink flag. We have bows for your mailbox, your front door. This is like a favorite every year everyone asks for it, is the pink washable markers, because the children love to go all over the windows and write messages. And a lot of them who have mothers who are breast cancer survivors or have been diagnosed, they give little wishes for their mom. So. It's usually the flag, the bow. We have window clings, Paint the Town Pink window clings. So the logo that you see there, it's actually going to be changing a little bit for this year, because it's no longer a Riverview Medical Center event, it's a Meridian Health event. So it's going to change a little bit, but that's pretty much how the logo looks. So, and again, you can use whatever's in the kit. We're very flexible, and I think one of the reasons Paint the Town Pink has grown and connected so much to a larger community is because it really is about the people in the towns that take up the charge. You know, we're at the hospital and we're able to help you with logistics, but it's really the people in the communities that have made such a difference and have made Paint the Town Pink what it is in the last 6 years.
Are the pictures of the winners? I noticed it seems to be a contest.
We used We were going to put some of them up on the on our website, but we had inconsistency. Not all the winners wanted to be on the website for privacy reasons, so we opted to not post them anywhere. I mean, some people are like, oh, put me all over, you know, put me in pictures, but we try to stay consistent. So, but that could change in 2013.
So. Okay, great. Any questions? I'm interested in moving forward, you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I gave Carolyn the packet of information that we need to, and then do approvals. And
are we appointing Mary Margaret as the chairman already?
I already booked the community center for dates to have the first meeting, and we had to cancel the first one because we had to wait for this to occur.
Okay.
Met with Carla already and talked about some ideas for the businesses and the possible event to run.
I think we nominate Mary Margaret.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I don't like that name. We have to find
something
more.
The next item was the Growler Chubby Pickle liquor license violation hearing, and
I believe that's
motion to Gary.
Yes, Gary to the 17th. Okay. So the council is they've provided the documents that have been at issue as the police department continues to investigate.
Motion to carry to October 17th.
Yes.
Offered by Mr. Redmond.
I'll second it.
Second by Ms. Kane. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Motion carried. Next item is the consent agenda.
I'll make the motion. Except I'm going to abstain from September 19th because I wasn't here.
And we have to name the
the person for the environmental?
Melissa
McLear?
McLear. M-A-C-L-E-E-R.
Your motion still?
Yes.
Okay. Offered by Ms. Kane?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Redmond.
Yes.
Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Motion carries. The next resolution is Resolution R-12-220. Resolution approving Exxon agreement.
Could you take us through this, Bruce?
The background predates me, but what it is an agreement with Exxon Mobil to reimburse us for the paving, repaving of Bayside Drive. So they're going to reimburse the borough for our exact costs up to $137,000.
This is a resurfacing as opposed to a full blown.
Yes, it's Steve took my contract. I don't know if he gave it back to me. It's
about I thought you were giving it to me.
No, it was my copy. But it's about 600 feet up the road, right?
Sure. Steve, there's a copy attached to your resolution.
Okay.
They were doing some remedial activities along about 200 feet of Bayside Drive. It resulted in some damage to the asphalt. So they've agreed to repay for 600 feet of resurfacing of Bayside Drive from Marie Avenue to Matt.
And the key part of what they are, of the project is at this point, is a curbs on both sides with the curbs on the up closest to the hill to extend 4 feet into the ground to prevent the creek, the swell water from coming underneath the road and to be 18 inches high, an 18 high inch curb, so that at this point, any seepage from the swell, any seepage from the hill is contained.
That's my understanding, but I know you and the borough engineer have been involved in that aspect.
So moved.
Offered by Mr. Francie.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Redmond. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next resolution is Resolution R-12-221, resolution authorizing or denying street opening permit application for North Peak Street.
I can speak on this. We received a street opening application from New Jersey Natural Gas, which is common practice. However, on this particular application, they want to run a new gas service up North Peak, but they would have to disturb a section of Valley. There's a map attached, and basically because there's a moratorium road moratorium, we do have to approve by resolution whether we want to grant approval, and with the stipulation that it be repaired with an infrared type system, not just a patch, if we want to go that route. So,
Valley, we just did. It's no more than 2 weeks old.
That's correct.
Absolutely right. The application just came in. So that's why we've got to bring it forward if we want to approve or deny it, so that we can let New Jersey Natural Gas, there are residents up there who have been anticipating the new gas service, and that's where it's at this point.
Why didn't they get it done? Because it's just what the
Highland Air... I can't answer for New Jersey Natural Gas.
The Highland, well, residents, it's just the Highland Air project has been, at this point, it's a year in progress with 3 years under planning.
I believe New Jersey Natural Gas was certainly aware that that project was happening. They sat in the pre-construction meetings. I can't answer on behalf of New Jersey Natural Gas as to why it took this long to come to this conclusion, but they do have and have submitted the road opening permit to us.
She would have known. That's almost at the termination of Valley Street up there. That's almost to the driveway.
I'm sorry, Rick?
It's crossing up right under. That's almost the end of the... I'll tell you the truth, I don't know if the new pavement went up as far as that radius there on Valley Street. I have to look. You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying.
And your questions are still, they still remain, but there might be, it might be off the pavement up that far. I'm not sure. I don't think they went up. I don't think they went into the radius of that turn to go up North Peak. Almost positive they did. I'll go up and look.
All right. Can we table that till the next meeting?
Sure, we can. There's moratorium on that road, right?
Sure.
We've got 7 years to decide.
Is there any hardship being created, Tim?
Not to my. The permit came in. I did place a call to New Jersey Natural Gas, and they didn't respond as of today, because I did want some further information from them and clarification. So tabling it, not a problem for me.
The only hardship is the cost of heating and cooling the house, I guess, up there at 1014 North Peak, our residence.
Are those houses in Highlands?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Or are they...
That side of the road is Highlands.
You went to Middletown.
No. That side of the road is Highlands. The other side is Mount Hills. I'll try to go up and look.
Okay, yeah.
Motion to carry to October
17th? Yep.
Well actually, don't we want to give Tim approval to basically react to what Rick finds?
He wants.
If that's how you
want
to do it.
I think we should do that, yeah. I mean, at this point...
Give him the go-ahead
pending Rick's...
To tell you the truth, I don't know if they could even directionally drill that like they do under the highway. You know,
right.
They go on one side and they'll send it under the road. So maybe that's another alternative, but I'll go and look.
All right.
So we want to move forward with this resolution,
pending
authorizing it subject to
Rick's understanding and approval.
Okay. Someone want to offer that?
I will.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yep. Second.
Seconded by Mr. Francie. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Motion carries. The next item is Resolution R12-221, Resolution Approving Membership to the Highlands Fire Department. This was an add-on. This is for Patrick Mason. 222. Oh, 222, sorry.
That's
this
three.
Is for Patrick Mason.
I'll offer it.
Offered by
that's
Mr. O'Neill.
Second.
Second by Ms. Kane. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Motion carries. Committee reports next.
Okay. Actually, tonight we're going to dispense the committee reports unless anybody has something pressing that they want to say. We'll have them on file in Borough Hall. So I know Tim had something pressing.
Yeah, I have just three items, if I may. I want to publicly thank Karina Curta and her family effort for the Girl Scout project that she coordinated the repairs and the roof replacement and other items down at Putty Park gazebo. And I know they worked long and hard and got a lot of resources together to do that. So I'd like to publicly thank them tonight for their efforts to improve that gazebo. And we're hoping that it stays and remains in good shape. Secondly, I just want to announce, and it's, I don't know if there's handouts in the packets or not, the Community Pet Outreach Program for free spay and neuter of your own cats. So if you own your own cat and it hasn't been spayed or neutered, they're doing a program on November 10th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the First Aid Building. So you can take advantage of that if you'd like. Last item I want to make sure residents are aware of is the Monmouth County Home Improvement Program has put out notices that they are accepting, it's actually a lottery drawing for the Monmouth County Home Improvement Program. They only have, they're looking to assist 40 households throughout the whole county. So in order to be in it, you have to fill out the application. We do have the applications in the Borough Hall. You can get them online as well, but you could be eligible if you're picked. There's income guidelines. Family size of one is 46,300. It ranges up to family size of eight at 87,300 for eligibility. If you are eligible and you submit the application and you are drawn, you can get up to $20,000 for home improvements for electrical, plumbing, structural, roofing, heating, ventilation, lead paste, paint removal, and other eligible repairs. The caveat to that is it's up to $20,000. It is a 10-year interest-free deferred loan, but if you remain in the house for 10 years, then the loan is totally forgiven. So that's the program requirement. It is the Monmouth County Home Improvement Program. They wanted to make sure we got this word out. So if anyone, I know a lot of residents have stopped in to get the applications, but they need to be submitted by November 30th if you're interested or eligible. If anyone wants further information, you can speak to me later, or there is contact information here. That's it.
Carla, you just
want to
give the date and time for Oktoberfest and stuff?
Oh, sure. Saturday, October 6th, 2 to 10 p.m. Sunday's the rain day, but I think Sunday looks worse. So
worse than
Saturday.
Saturday
it is.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Be aware of the farmer's market. There's New Sod and Honey Park. We're going to rope that area off. So you're not going to be able to have people set up there.
Saturday?
Saturday.
Can I just touch base on one other item I want to talk to council and publicly mention? We're reviewing, everyone knows, sidewalk repair items on Bay Avenue. It's been an outstanding issue. Speaking with Mr. Pfeffer, there's a possibility that we may be able to take a look at patching and repairs along the distressed areas. We've gotten an estimate of up to $25,000 to repair the. There's many, many areas that need replacement. That would include, though, perhaps the tree work that's going to be necessary, because some of the sidewalk issues were sustained due to lifting of from the trees.
Right.
We may have an opportunity through one of the two existing road bond ordinances that we already have in place. Cost estimate right now is about $25,000. That's just a rough cost estimate to get that work done, inclusive of, like I said, the tree work and the concrete work that would need to be done. If we are going to go forward, we would need approval for the CFO to make an amendment to, and we're researching it right now to see which of those bond ordinances may be applicable to this, but it's something we really need to get done.
These are unspent funds.
Yes.
Well, that's what I plan on doing is speaking to the engineer in regards to both ordinances, seeing what he feels will be unspent funds at the end of the project,
okay,
and going forward from there.
Okay.
Can I just ask about the
farmer's market? I was out of turn. I thought you were speaking.
No, I just wanted to revisit. I'm sorry.
The whole
thank
car?
You.
No,
just the
side of there.
Just the front quadrant.
Okay, thank
up by Diane.
Thank you.
But Diane's going to have to know, so at this point.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to get there at 7 o'clock.
Well, they haven't used that site anyway.
There are a lot of people on the dirt, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll make sure.
Thank you.
approval to move ahead with that, or just to look into it?
I think we kind of have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have the feeling of the council to move forward with that.
All right.
Ready to move on to other business?
Yes, I believe Mayor Nolan wanted to table the ADP payroll
proposal. We'll carry that to the October 17th meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a motion, Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Offered by Ms. Kane?
Second.
Second by Mr. Redman. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Review of draft tax abatement ordinance.
Can we take you through this?
Yes.
A little bit? Okay. You all received the chart. Remember, I was referencing the chart last time. I sent it to everybody. So there's 8 elements of this that you can implement. I'm going to jump right into it because I think everyone here, we've talked about this a couple times, everyone's kind of up to speed what we're trying to do. This is an exemption for improvements and new construction. There's 8 different elements of, I'll call it construction, that qualify. You have improvements to dwellings, construction of new dwellings, conversion of buildings to dwelling use, improvements to multiple dwellings, conversion to multiple dwellings, improvements to commercial and industrial use, construction of commercial and industrial use, and construction of multiple dwellings. So, by statute, the council can adopt an ordinance which provides a tax exemption for either improving or constructing one of those elements. For improvements to dwellings, the statute allows you to regard up to the first $5,000, $15,000, or $25,000 of improvements as exempt from taxes from an added assessment for 5 years. And to qualify, the property that's being improved must be more than 20 years old. For construction of new dwellings, so it would be like a single family dwelling, you up to 30% of the true assessed value of the constructed dwelling can be exempted for 5 years. So the council can set up to 30% what it would like to do.
Say that again.
So if I have a piece of land and I build a new house on it, 30% of the increased value now to the land and now the house could be exempt from taxes for 5 years.
Right.
There's no change in the underlying taxation that you were paying before. It's just the added taxation, and only up to 30% of that. And that it could also be phased in over a five-year period. It doesn't have to be 30 for 5 years. It could be whatever you guys want, just up to 5 years. Same thing is true for converting buildings to dwellings. If you have an existing structure that you turn it into a dwelling. Now there's improvements to multiple dwellings. So if you have a structure that's a multiple dwelling, or converting a building to a multiple dwelling, the full value of the conversion or the improvements could be exempted up to 5 years. And again, it's up to the full value. It's in your discretion. Now, for improvement, and actually the same rules apply for improvements to commercial and industrial property. And for any improvements, up to the full value of the improvement can be exempted for 5 years. You also have some discretion on that. For improvements to commercial and industrial, you could define what categories of improvements. So you could specify what types of improvements could qualify for the exemption. Now, for the last two, it's construction of commercial and industrial dwelling, or commercial industrial property, and construction of multiple dwellings. Each of those has to come, they're not automatic like the ones I just spoke about. Each of those has to come back before the council, and you have to approve an ordinance to enter into an agreement for a tax exemption for these properties. And what you can exempt is for the value of the construction or the improvement up to 5 years, and there's 3 different ways you could do it. One's called the revenue basis, one's called the cost basis, and then the tax phase-in. In my experience, the tax phase-in is most common, and that's what most people use, and it seems to be the easiest. And what it is you phase it in over 5 years. So the first year, it's zero, and then it goes up 20, 40, 60, 80. By the sixth year, they're paying, when the 5 years expires, they're paying the full amount of the taxes. So those are your options. You pick all of that, some of that. It's really the council's choice on how you want to do it.
And these options, we have to write into the ordinance.
Yes.
Right. And so we have to have that as a council next workshop meeting to make that discussion.
We could do it that way, if you want to do it that way, or if you want me to put something together based on your discussion now. You know, it's your pleasure.
Okay. On the first six you have, do you phase that in also?
You could.
Okay, rather you could. Than say 30%, you have no
you could do
increase for 5 years.
Right, you could do 0, 5, 10, 20, okay. 30. Mm-hmm. It is complicated to the extent that it gives you so many options.
I mean, we can review it today and talk about it next meeting if you want.
I think we should.
I mean, yeah, so we all understand and digest it before we just...
The issue in my mind is the things that we want to target. What do we want to target as part of this? All right. At this point, you know, we've clearly talked about buildings that need rehab that we think are substandard, but we're also talking about expanding the program to include all of Highlands. So at this point, there are properties that are not substandard, but people would like to do work.
Right.
How do we do that is what we have to kind of work out.
Right. One thing you might want to do is just a suggestion, again, it's your pleasure. Rather than discuss this at a council meeting, you have a committee to look at it, make some recommendations. I'm happy to sit in on that committee, and then have that committee of the governing body report back to the full body at the next meeting, or at whatever meeting you want to consider.
It's not a bad idea either. Break up that way, at least we can sit and talk with Bruce more about it. I'm willing to sit on it. Do you want to sit on it, Chris?
I would like to.
Rick? I mean,
I think Frank was here.
Okay.
Yeah.
He should sit on it. I guess it's two of them, right?
It can only be two. That's
okay.
Not USM.
Well,
or whatever.
You want
Frank
to do it? You want to do it?
Yes.
With Frank?
I'll do it with Frank.
Okay.
So we'll wait till we hear back from the committee. Correct. You schedule this.
Right.
And we'll have something.
I have an update at least of the 10-17.
Well, we'll have a proposal. Yes. We'll have Bruce write a proposal for the next meeting.
Right.
That's something to review.
We could, after we're done here, we can pick a date if you want, or if we had to talk to the mayor.
And is this chart public information at this point?
Well, I prepared it for you. I have no problem with some of the language up on top, I think, would be considered attorney-client communication. So
okay.
Why don't I take that part out, and then I'll email Carolyn just the chart,
yeah, that's
and then I have no problem.
That would be good.
Solid, so we don't.
Yeah.
That would be good. I know people are interested in this.
Are you ready to move on? Yeah. Okay, review of procedures for driveway permit parking ordinance. The council had requested that procedures for the process be prepared. Mr. Gajula has prepared that, and it's been provided at the table and you move forward.
Okay, so we just received these tonight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I prepared some rules. The ordinance itself was pretty specific on what needed to be done. I tried to get some information from other municipalities that do this, and rather than providing us with professional courtesy as a fellow municipality, they all told me that I had to file over requests to get their applications and things. So you can imagine what I felt like telling them. But so I just put together some things myself.
Is Chief Lewis on board with this? I assume you've seen it.
Yes, I have some reservations about it.
Yes.
One, I think administratively, it's going to be a burden. Two, I think enforcement is going to be a problem. I know we spoke about having certain zones where this will be applicable. That in itself, I think, will be problematic. I think we'll have one area to have it, another area doesn't. People are just going to naturally assume, well, they have it, why don't I have it? It's going to cause a problem. I know we had permit parking on Shore Drive. It was also somewhat problematic because as people moved in and moved out, people weren't really aware of the permit process. And over a period of time, really, no one got a permit at all. So the ordinance was really useless after a while. Three, I think that I see the reason for it, why it came up, but really we're passing an ordinance for a total of 3 or 4, maybe 5 houses. And I don't think it's really going to solve what's going on down there completely anyway. So I said, again, I see the reason for it, but I just think it's going to be a problem. Under enforcement and administratively also.
You know, I thought.
I mean, did you meet with Joe on this yet, or
no?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Because this would be townwide, I would assume, right?
Like yes.
It'd be townwide. It allows the owner of a residence to apply for up to 3 permits, and anyone in the house that owns a car can apply for a permit. And it had the permit is described in here, 8.5 by 5.5, so it's large enough. It actually says it has to be displayed so it can be seen from the middle of the street. And if you don't display the permit, you get a ticket for blocking the driveway.
Right. I do agree with the chief because I didn't realize it was the whole permit and placard type thing. I mean, I think it's one thing if a resident parks in front of their driveway, a neighbor calls it in, the cops come, okay, that car belongs to that house, carry on. But a whole permit process, I think, is a bit more involved. Can you do it just the other way, where you do just allow it and it is just the resident?
Well, we could.
The statute talks about having a permit.
Okay.
Yeah. 39, right?
So, yeah, it's 39-4-138.
Because I think that's what's going to make it to be a burden, really, getting the permits, getting the placards.
That's the administrative part of it.
Yeah. Do you want to hold off on this
now?
Okay. Now, I think we've already introduced, right? And we have the hearing date set for October 17th.
Did you introduce it?
We introduced the last meeting.
Okay.
And we're just going to review procedures tonight.
Okay. So then by resolution, you could postpone the hearing or you could wait till. I mean, we're not going to have the hearing next week, because no one's ready to go forward on it. So,
okay. So why don't we just postpone the hearing and we can discuss amongst ourselves and see?
Yeah, just table it indefinitely.
You want to make a motion to table indefinitely?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Offered by Ms. Kane, second by Mr. Redmond. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Sure.
Mr. Franzi?
Yep.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Motion carries. Review of the 2012 Best Practices Worksheet. Mr. Pfeffer has prepared it.
Each year for the last 3 years, municipalities across the state have had to fill out this form in order to qualify for 100% of their state aid. We submitted the form. We qualify for 100%. This is a requirement of the of this form that we presented to council. And then the last step is the borough clerk will certify to the state that we had this on a council agenda for the council's review. And if anybody had any questions that related to the best practices worksheet.
I know we did a couple measures this year to make us compliant, so we've done quite a bit.
We've done quite a bit, and actually, over the last couple of years, some of those questions have actually come off.
Really?
Yeah, and you know what? This is an evolving process with the state, and I'm sure next year there'll be some questions dropped and some new questions put on.
Okay.
And they have a couple of questions in here that are in conflict, that are within conflict within themselves. And it relates to New Jersey State Health Benefits, and I think they'll probably have to address that somewhere along the line.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions, Chris? Rick, Kevin?
No, good.
Okay. All right, Bay Street Repairs?
Just to bring the council's attention, we have inquiries on Bay Street with some of the areas. In particular, there's one residence with a wall that's on a right-of-way that the borough has maintained in the past. The wall is having issues, and the resident has inquired about the borough taking a look at the repairs that may be needed. The engineers have looked at it, and there's going to be some discussion going forward, but as far as we can tell, tax maps and others, it is the borough's responsibility at this point. I don't know how it evolved from history, but there's an area up there along Bay Street that this wall was installed and it has been maintained over the years by the borough, from what I understand.
The maps I saw, it was well within the public right of way.
This is a retaining wall.
Yeah, and it's been being maintained by the borough for as long as we figure out.
When you say maintained, landscaping maintained or
if there's been an issue of, according to Reggie from the DPW end, if there's been an issue of a board that's rotted, any piece of lumber, we've been instructed over the years. We haven't done anything up there recently, but we've been instructed over the years to make those repairs.
Okay.
So we're going to look into it. We're going to have to come up with options. There's also other areas of Bay Street with regards to roll curving or macadam that used to be in certain areas to help move water away from homes, and we're looking at that as well to make sure we don't divert or create an issue for somebody downstream.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Anything else on that? You good? Thanks. Item is Portia. Oh, let me get the list.
I don't know. Let me see if it's safe.
You can go. Okay.
Tara Ryan, 17 Ocean Street. Okay, thank you. Tara Ryan, 17 Ocean Street. I have what's with the new mural on the big wall on Miller Street?
What do you mean?
Well, it's been painted over, the mural mm-hmm. that was there for years and years, and I like it. I'm just curious about who's doing it. Is it the school?
No, it's the lady. Want me to answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
The lady from down the sandwich shop, it's down at the end of the old park, she's doing it. I believe the paint was provided by Mr. Dowdy. He bought out the paint down to Hardware Store when it was auctioned, and she's volunteered her time to do that.
Oh, I think that's wonderful.
I think it's
not
too Greek myth.
Oh, no, I know it's not done. I know. But it's the fact that it's, you know.
It's like Poseidon and somebody else, I think, yeah. She told me. Yeah. There's going to be downstream, there's going to be like the twin lights shining the light back up. It's really nice. I saw a little hand printed up on it.
Welcome to Highlands in the Wind. Oh, very nice. So I'm glad to see you. Very good. Okay,
we're going to have all that stuff cleared up around it. So
yeah, yeah, see all that.
I'm working on that, though.
Okay, thank you. And secondly, I see that Ms. Eck, you spoke about Captain Smoke Marina. Can you discuss anything with us or give us any kind of an update?
I'll be communicating with his attorney tomorrow, like I've done several times over the last, 3 weeks. That's the best I can say right now.
Okay.
But we can talk about what we plan to do, huh?
Until he's notified. Well, I would wait just for
until he gets notified.
Maybe you can't deal so quickly.
We
sent him a previous letter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We
hand that out if you want.
We sent him a letter last Friday that said he had to have the street clear of his equipment and the dumpsters and all of the dirt that was on the street back into the hole where it came from by the end of business on Monday.
Last Monday,
30th. The 30th. By a COVID choice.
Okay.
All right. He has not done that, and so we are now sending a letter advising him how we're going to proceed next.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
I'm set. Thank you.
Okay. I believe Stacy Donovan was from Paint the Town Pink. Michael and Mary Roth, Mary Ann Roth from Washington Avenue.
Captain Scope Marina again. We live on 31 Washington. And first of all, I want to thank the town for allowing us to renovate our house during this whole process. We've taken the bungalow up to new levels, and everybody's been so cooperative. Mr. Hill and allowing us to get equipment in to do the job, and especially Paul Vital. He's been wonderful helping us through and getting it done. We have moved in about 6 weeks ago, and we're enjoying it. Now, on the other side, Mr. Rosiak has bent over backwards to keep our driveway open as much as possible. We did have a couple of weeks where we had to hoof it and park the cars outside the thing, but the whole whole point here is I'd just like to see the project completed as quickly as possible so we can get back to a normal way of life. And that's pretty much it. I realize there's a lot of trouble on both sides and it's hard to come to agreement, but we have to do it. It's been a long time now.
I agree with you. Yeah.
I spoke to the fellow running the job yesterday about how he's going to finish it up, and we're close.
Okay.
I'm thinking, I haven't been down there today, so I don't know if it's finished, but within days it should be. Okay. And the borough has to set a catch basin there for where the drain is down by the lifted yellow house.
Right.
And then we should be able to start paving as soon as we can.
That's great.
And the bids get open for the paving, I believe, on the 10th.
On the 10th of?
10th of October, so once we get those bids open. Right.
So we should be, by the end of the month, end of October, we should be tight.
I just have one question now. This whole thing happened because it doesn't seem to be a relief for over-the-wall water. It sort of gets caught in the area, and that's what puts so much pressure on the walls in the first place. Is there anything that's been done to hopefully eliminate this in the future?
That's an accusation, but I don't believe that to be true.
Okay.
I believe the bulkhead failed because the bulkhead was in failure. It was sheathed on front of a failing bulkhead. That failing bulkhead finally collapsed.
He didn't have long enough sheets, and so when he put them into the ground, ultimately the bulkhead failed at the bottom.
Okay.
And when it failed at the bottom, this dirt that was here filled this space, and that collapsed.
Okay.
All right. And when that collapsed, now the whole structure became weakened.
Because if you go further up towards Marine Place, you'll see where on the pavement behind the roll curb, the concrete curb,
right,
where that's collapsing to the bulkhead.
Okay.
It's being undermined from the wave action, basically. We had it. We had the borough structural engineer come down and look at all that, probably that day or the day after it happened. And it's been a long process.
Okay.
But
here's a question for you, though. There's an understanding, or at least there's a very strong impression at the council table here, all right, that the entire bulkhead has to be repaired.
Right.
It's clear the way he's working that it will entail a tremendous amount of impact to the residents on Washington. How do you feel about giving him our understanding of the work? It was not to have the degree of impact that it is. He was going to cut the road to get access to his dead men, but he wasn't putting dirt on the sidewalks. He wasn't having muck piling into your driveway. None of that was permitted. It's happened. He's done it. We're stopping him. But as we go forward and he wants to do more of the bulkhead, What's your reaction to that?
I know it's a messy job, and it hasn't been pretty living with it, trust me. I just put a driveway in last week, but I can't even back into it now to get to the garage for all the mud.
You put the white stone down, and now you're going to have mud on it.
Exactly. So
I mean, you can't be impressed with it.
But not for nothing, in fairness to us, I have to say, this was an emergency condition that we need to have fixed.
Right.
Looking forward now, because he's as far as pretty much he can go.
Right.
For him to go to the next part to do it, there's going to be different parameters for that. This was a learning curve too. So yeah, did we specifically say you couldn't put the dirt there? No. So he did. And there's animosity down there between him and some of the neighbors. Nobody knows that better than I do.
Oh, sure.
But now if he stops there and he goes to move on to another spot, you have a different set of parameters that are going to be worked on. You're not just going to come and do what you feel like, pretty much.
Okay.
No, so
what we wanted to say, as soon as possible.
Thanks for your
reflection. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carol Bucca?
Carol Bucca, 330 Shore Drive. I called Timmy this afternoon. Did you get my message?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Six wheels or five wheels on our dumpsters were broken within today or we can't even move them because we've used our last set of wheels. So now we're looking for some more wheels.
Of course.
Yeah.
the super from Future taken down there?
Left a message with
Tell
Future.
Tell him he has to come down.
They're coming to me. As soon as he responds to my call, I called him twice after your call. So he's on notice, and they're gonna have to make do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say Future's gonna have to make do to correct that situation.
Right. I mean, at this point,
the dumpsters.
Are we in a position where we'll get them repaired and deduct from the bill?
Well, let's bring it down. If you get it down, just call them.
I have no problem bringing them in. Can we do that? I'm sure we can. I'm sure there's something in there that can...
Okay, contract.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a provision in there with this repeated issue that we can...
Well, we've bought most of our dumpsters from them.
But if you bought your dumpsters, what I understand, though, that's what the question came to me, was did Future provide or were they involved with your dumpsters at that level? I didn't know the answer.
We purchased them outright. We purchased them outright, like a different, didn't involve the town whatsoever.
But from Future.
From Future.
Because they're leading me to believe that they're their dumpsters, though, but we're going to have to get that clear.
No,
that's not.
We paid big money for those dumpsters. Big money.
So you purchased them directly from Future?
Directly from Future.
And you probably have receipts for that too, right, Carol?
Yes.
Okay. You could use them.
That's even a better scenario than I think for what we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
Let's get into this.
Because we had to get bigger ones because they weren't picking up.
Okay. But yes, I did call. We'll get
okay,
there.
I just wanted to make you aware of the situation. Yeah, we did pay a lot of money for it.
It seems like you're the only one that's having to. Just saying, it seems like
well,
you're
watched
the only
them.
One having to
complain. I watched them. They
watch.
Drop them from like 3-4 feet. Okay. They don't put them down. When they get to a certain point, they just let it go. And
okay.
Then the wheels are snapped.
I'm not saying it's not happening, but
I've seen
I wonder why they're
I've
going there and nowhere else.
I don't know.
Okay. Carla Braswell?
I just had a 62 Bradley Point Road. I just wanted to ask Bruce a question regarding the tax abatements. Is that okay if I ask you? Would the new residential, the tax abatements that you were talking about tonight replace the existing residential tax abatement?
I don't know what, I'd have to look at what they currently have.
Okay. It's like 10 years.
Probably.
Just residential, no commercial. It used to be both and then it was eliminated to residential.
The 10-year ones are usually specific to a project based on like an urban renewal project.
So did we like cancel that one or?
This would not cancel anything that's currently in place.
Okay.
I think we think that everything's lapsed. That's what I think we think.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The program.
There was no current.
It was not enacted. It was not reenacted. It ended in 96?
No, it was...
I don't think so. She said she's referring to a specific property that she thinks has a 10-year...
No.
Oh.
The tax abatement ordinance that we have in place.
You have one in place. It lapsed.
It was changed in 2000.
Right, it was changed in four... I think it was 04.
Or from commercial to just residential.
Right.
So
but
is that lapsed as well? They
yes.
Moved the commercial aspect of it under a previous...
That, we think it's lapsed.
We think it's lapsed, and if it's not, maybe it didn't, but just to be prudent, we kind of did the process over again. Because what the statute says, remember we talked about the area in need of rehabilitation?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a condition precedent to doing the ordinance.
Right.
You first did that in... 1994 or 95.
Yeah.
So, and the statute says that the ordinance that you adopt is only good for 10 years.
Okay.
So the changes in 04 were so minor that I didn't think that they would continue for another, it wouldn't restart the 10-year clock. So I thought it was prudent to start the process over again.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn?
I'm going to put it into my pink bag.
Well, because I thanked you in there.